that brings us to a verse that's in contrast to all of this. Verse 2 of chapter 5 of Micah. But, and that little conjunction there now is a turnabout, right about face. This is the other side of the coin. But thou, Bethlehem, in spite of what happened to Zedekiah and his line, the Davidic line was already in captivity. They became peasants. And now there is coming the Messiah. And where is he coming from? But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, this is the part of the Christmas story, and it seems a very inappropriate time for a Christmas message, does it not? But we're going to have one. That is, we're certainly going to be able to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it seems very inappropriate that we've come to it, but we have. It's sort of like wearing a straw hat in a snowstorm in Chicago in January, or wearing an overcoat in August in Houston, Texas. It's just out of place. Or it's like wearing a bikini at the North Pole in February. Or it may be like wearing a bear skin down at the equator any time of the year. Well, may I say to you that this is something that probably is a little out of form, but the Bible doesn't frown upon it, because here's where we've come and here's what the Word of God has to say. And I think probably we could make a correction here without being an extremist. Actually, Christ was not born on December the 25th. I'm sure we can be almost sure of that. They tried to identify it with the winter solstice is the way that it got into the calendar, but I'm not sure that that is it. He probably was born in the spring, because in December the shepherds would not be out on the hillside with their sheep. They would be in those caves along that entire area. And actually, whatever date that you're listening to it, we're nearer the date of his birth than we are in December the 25th. But we don't want to split hairs about that. I personally think that this is a good time to look at the Christmas story. Christmas, I think, needs to be stripped of all of its heathenism, and the accretions of time have added the accessories of paganism to it. And probably we're prepared to look at the birth of Christ without bells and bunting and tinsel and the tawdry, the crowds and the clamor, and actually a Christmas without a Santa Claus. Well, Micah, you will remember, was a contemporary of Isaiah. And we have seen there have been many parallel passages. Someone has said Micah's an abridged edition of Isaiah. And among these very wonderful prophetic passages is this reference to the birthplace of Christ. And it's almost a casual reference, but the emphasis is put in the New Testament. It's remarkable that after this prophecy was given, that 700 years later it would come to pass. Now, very frankly, it's not that Bethlehem was chosen to be his birthplace. That would be normal. It was the birthplace of David. It was his place. It was where the family of David originated. So you might expect that the Messiah would be born there. But the thing that makes it remarkable is that under the circumstances, with what happened in verse 1, Zedekiah with his eyes put out, carried into Babylonian captivity, and already the family of David is down there in captivity and slavery. Now, how in the world will there be one born in the line of David to sit on the throne? Well, he says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Now, the thing that makes Bethlehem very interesting is this, that though it is the hometown of David, the proper place for a king to be born, and most of David's line were born in Jerusalem. That was the capital city, but this one is to be born in Bethlehem, David's city, if you please. How in the world could that come to pass? And Matthew puts together four prophecies that are totally unrelated. He's to be born in Bethlehem. That seemed out of context because that was to be weeping in Ramah, and Ramah's north of Bethlehem, and he's to be called out of Egypt. And how in the world will he get down to Egypt to be called out of Egypt? And he's to be called a Nazarene, evidently because of the manner of life he lived, but he'd have to get that name by living in Nazareth at this time. So how in the world can you put all that together? Well, Matthew tells the story without any strain on circumstances. All of these things came together normally and naturally. But let me change that and say supernaturally. God was overruling. Now, Bethlehem just wasn't the place. But though it be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that's to be ruler in Israel. Now, the one that he promised to David, and the one that the prophets took up as the theme song of the Old Testament, that there's coming one in the line of David to sit upon the throne of David, and that he would do certain things for this earth that no one else could do, and we're going to have to see that later on in this chapter. But will you notice, he says, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that's to be ruler in Israel. Now, this is the strange language. Listen to this. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He's to come out of Bethlehem. A little, may I say it without being irreverent, a little jerkwater town. A whistle stop south of Jerusalem. Some say 6 miles, some 10. I personally think that 6 miles is probably nearer, more accurate. But out of Bethlehem, he's to come. But notice who it is. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, this is to be a remarkable baby. Now, the contemporary of Michael was Isaiah. Isaiah clarifies this. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And then he had something more to say about this one, by the way. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And by the way, we always abuse that at Christmas time. We think us means the United States. U.S. is United States. Unto us a child is born. That's not the way Isaiah is speaking. He didn't even have the United States in mind, didn't even know about it, and didn't know about us. And the ones he's talking about is unto us, the nation Israel. A child is born. Now, the child is born. That's his humanity. But unto us, a son is given. He's not born. Why? Because he is the one that comes out of eternity. He is the one from all eternity. May I say that the psalmist had something to say along this line of who he was. In Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting, and the Hebrew's very vivid, from the vanishing point in the past to the vanishing point in the future, thou art God. just as far back as you can go, and you can't go any farther, and you're thinking, well, he's God. He'll come out of eternity to meet you. And as far as you want to go into eternity. So what Micah's saying here is of tremendous significance. He says he's born in Bethlehem about 1,900 years ago now. But his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Who is he? Well, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That doesn't end it, friends. We have more on this over in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. And you'll recall that when we were looking at both the passage in Psalms and Proverbs, we called attention to this. He says here, verse 23 of Proverbs 8, I was set up from everlasting. Now, actually, the word set up is anointed. I was anointed from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before any creation, he's God. Yet into creation he came to a little out-of-the-way place, a little town called Bethlehem. And you might get it mixed up with another Bethlehem that was farther north, and he identifies this one, Bethlehem Ephratah, David's city, where David was born. But he's to come out of this place. But his goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. Now, may I say, therefore, this becomes extremely important when you begin to move over into the New Testament. And actually, I come back to the date again, that the December date is highly unlikely because there's been a juggling of the calendar at intervals to begin with. Dionysus in 532 A.D. set up a calendar, which is a reasonable facsimile of the one we have today. And even he miscued on the number of days in the year, and that's the reason we get a leap year in every now and then. And he tried to rectify that. That is, others tried to rectify that in 1752 and jumped the calendar ahead 11 days. And George Washington was not born on February the 22nd. Actually, he's born on the 11th. And you cannot be sure Jesus was born on December the 25th, even if all the other circumstances would fit into it. And this idea today of saying, I believe in observing the Sabbath day, how do you know which is the Sabbath day, by the way? But actually, it's not important. The time of the year is immaterial. The place is all important. He was born in Bethlehem, and that's the historical fact, and it has been authenticated by history. Micah picked the place 700 years before the birth of Christ, and it's not remarkable that he'd choose Bethlehem. The miraculous feature is that 700 years later, after the giving of the prophecy, with so many intervening events, there was little likelihood that one in the line of David could be born there. It's entirely out of the question. The odds were against it. None of the family of David were living any longer in Bethlehem. They were scattered. The dispersion had driven them from the land. And now one family's up yonder in Nazareth. Yet Bethlehem must be the place, according to Micah. And that was the sole basis of this prophecy, that the wise men were directed by the scribes to Bethlehem. They quoted from Micah because they believed that that would be the place. They just didn't believe it was being fulfilled at that time. Now, I want to come back and cover some ground that I did not cover before. But the place that Jesus is to be born is Bethlehem. And we look back at it as history, but it probably looked rather dark and dreary to those who went into Babylonian captivity. It'd be possible now for the Messiah to come. And so Micah, speaking into that picture, says, yes, he'll be born in Bethlehem. That is the place. There's nothing unusual about that. But the very fact that he was born there, the circumstances which led up to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, they're familiar to us. But very frankly, it's remarkable that considering what had happened over the intervening years from the time of the Babylonian captivity for 500 years, how could it be possible for one to be born? Well, if that little donkey on which Mary rode down from Nazareth to Bethlehem had stumbled and Mary had fallen, Jesus would probably have been born somewhere along the route. But I say this very carefully, that little donkey could not stumble. In fact, that was the safest mode of travel that's imaginable, because that little donkey could not stumble. And I hope that doesn't lead anyone to take a fanatic viewpoint, as one man came to me. He knows my reluctance at flying by plane. I do it. I've flown actually equal to around the world several times, but I still am never comfortable, as I've said before. I've never put my full weight down on any plane yet. And this brother came to me and he said, "Now, I don't want you to worry about this flight I was making to London, from here to London." He said, "I don't want you to worry, because as I've prayed, and I want you to know that the Lord has shown me that the jet cannot fall." Well, may I say to you, I dismiss that, because that's pious nonsense. He didn't know it, and I didn't know it. And it didn't fall, thank the Lord for that. But this is different. The Lord Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem according to prophecy. And the donkey on which Mary was riding was safe. And he had to arrive on schedule. In fact, it was split second. And it was timed from eternity. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law. Born under the law. It was more punctual and precise than any jet plane could possibly be today. And now, as we saw, Micah says two things. Out of these shall he come forth. Little humble Bethlehem. This is his birth, the incarnation. Has to do with his humanity. He clothed himself with humanity in Bethlehem. And it also says, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. And his existence was before his birth. And this is the pre-incarnation that we're talking about, the deity of Christ. And we have already looked at the fact that a child is born. That's what Isaiah said. That's Bethlehem. A son is given, and that's from heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, "I have come forth from the Father, and I'm coming to the world again. I leave the world, and I go to the Father." Now notice the pre-incarnation, the deity of Christ. His goings forth are from of old. He's the everlasting Father. He told the Pharisees, "Before Abraham was, I am." And he appeared many times in the Old Testament. And go back to the creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. "For by him were all things made," created. Colossians 1:16. And in the Garden of Eden, he was the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He was the articulation of God. He was the Word of God. He was the communication to man from God. And you find him in pursuit of man through the Old Testament. He appeared to Moses at the burning bush and said, "I've come down to deliver you." He was a redeemer. And we have, therefore, the fact he was from everlasting to everlasting, but he came to Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem. As it is said of the little baby, "Where did you come from, baby dear? Out of the everywhere into the here." Well, this little baby came out of the everywhere, out of the everlasting into the here. But you can't say that of your baby of mine. Now, as to his humanity, his incarnation, out of thee shall he come forth. And when God came to Bethlehem, he got something he never had before. He got the name of Jesus, and he received humanity. He was Jehovah. That's the name of deity. But he's Jesus now, and he's a Savior. He came out of Bethlehem to save. You remember the angel said to the shepherds, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord." Matthew says his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. But you're going to call his name Jesus. And he can't be Jesus unless he's Emmanuel, which means God with us. He must be a man to take our place, to be our representative, to die a substitutionary death. And maybe this far away from Christmas, without all of the jingle bells and the ho, ho, ho of Santa Claus, we can get a viewpoint of him that we couldn't get because we were so busy Christmas shopping. Jesus did not come to shop. He came to save. And there are those that are trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And it looks like the Lord's been taking Christmas out of mankind today. The world didn't do so well this past Christmas. My friend, may I say to you that this is a very wonderful verse here, and I've merely stayed on the surface of it.